Thank you, Maestro. Getting us into a wonderful Christian mood to study the Word of God. Let's open the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. We continue in our study of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how we're totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit to understand the things that are recorded in this book. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the inspirational ministry of the Holy Spirit, inspiring the writers of Scripture to write down your word as you would have it written. And then, Father, we are so thankful for the preservation of the Scripture by the Holy Spirit through the centuries, where Satan has ministered all kinds of attacks to counter, to destroy, change this Word. And then, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the compilation of the books by the Holy Spirit, the books that you wanted in this book. But, Heavenly Father, we now call upon the illuminating ministry of the Spirit. We know we're totally dependent upon Him to see the truth of this book. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we left off last week, and we've worked our way through. Last week was rather academic, and I know that, but it was for the purpose of the difficulty of this passage. And what we're doing here, and in Romans, people were learning to think theologically, think biblically. And this is one of the great problems in the church today in America. Pastors, people do not know how to think theologically, and therefore there's a lot of sloppy theology in regard to so many areas, including sin, but also including just understanding this book. Last week we spent a few moments on the doctrine of divine inspiration of Scripture, and Leslie told me about after Obama came out for homosexuality, marriage, gay marriages, and queers getting together and all this, that he didn't word it that way, but that's what it comes down to. And they had this rally down here in Dallas, I guess, and some lady got up and said, well, I'm a daughter of a preacher, and he's gone to church and all that. And we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. I mean, and this just dramatizes where we are in our country. The attitude about this book and what's going on with this book. So we finished verse 13 and we spent an academic time on putting it together. So let's just read through, be sure we're on the same track in regard to verse 13. Which things? Okay, this refers to those things prepared by God and freely given. Verse 12. These things, which things we also speak, communicate, not in words, concepts, taught by human wisdom, but, contrast, in those concepts taught by the Spirit. Now we come to the difficulty. How does the Spirit teach these hidden secrets? By the way, we have a ministry of the Holy Spirit, teaching, taught by the Holy Spirit. Which things are taught by the Spirit, and how does He do this? Revealing, and I'm just going to give it off from our work last week. Revealing, that's the way we're going to translate the verb. Revealing spiritual things to spiritual beings. And the NASB has that in the margin, and I concur with it, and I think that's what's going on if we spent the time working at it. Now, why do we translate this spiritual beings at the end? Verse 14. But a natural man, okay, this is coming right off of being compared with the spiritual at the end of verse 13. But a natural man, not spiritual, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually revealed. Okay. Now, before we analyze the verse, first of all, Who is being talked about in verse 13? The natural man. And we learn three basic things about the natural man from verse 13. One, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. Doesn't have the Spirit of God. Two, the second thing we learn about the natural man, they are foolishness to him. And the third thing we learn, he cannot understand them. So we have the contrast between the spiritual man and the natural man. Now, why can he not understand them? Look at the last phrase. Because they are spiritually revealed or appraised. And we'll take a look at which word we're going to pick there. Okay, let's take a look. But the natural man. Okay, the natural man is, don't be afraid of the Greek, is psychikos. Psychikos. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. This is the word for natural man. Suke. And get familiar with the word. Psychikos. Translated natural. It is so important to each of us individually as we develop through the psychikos. This is in sharp contrast to who we are in Christ. We are pneumatikos in Christ. Pneumatikos. P-N-E-U-M-A. That's from spirit. And then tikos, spiritual. So we have the natural man, psychikos. We have the spiritual person, creature. That's pneumatikos. So they're in contrast. So this also supports our understanding of the translation at the end of verse 13. The spiritual phenomenon, spiritual concepts to the spiritual creature. Okay, it's time to just start off now with a flow of grasping what's going on here. But a natural man. Okay, let's note some things that we have going on. Point one. We all enter into the world psychikos. We enter into the world by our first birth, psychikos, natural. Proof? 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to look at verse 46 while you're writing. But let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 46. 1 Corinthians 15, 46. However, the spiritual, that is pneumatikos, is not first. But the natural, psychikos, then the spiritual. Can't be any clearer than that. It cannot be any clearer. I mean, my goodness. So we enter the world natural. Man, the unbeliever, in our human state. Not spiritual. Now, at the second birth, we believe in Christ, we become spiritual. Now, continuing point one, though, don't leave 1 Corinthians 15 yet. By union with Adam, we are natural. And this is going to be important to our study in Romans chapter 5 in a few moments. So, union with Adam, natural. Union with Christ, spiritual. Look at verse 45 at 1 Corinthians 15, right where you are. It says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first Adam, Adam in a garden. The last Adam, Jesus Christ. People, as I told you last Sunday, if you do not believe in the first two chapters of the Bible, in divine inspiration, you're off on the whole rest of the whole plan of God. You do not believe that God created the heavens, the earth, created man, Adam in the garden, Eve in the garden, which many preachers do not believe. They think it's all just a story, just to kick things off. People, you're off on this whole momentum of history. So look at verse 45. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And the soul is the root of psychikos, the natural. Any questions on point one? So point one, we enter into the world psychikos, natural. And then after believing in Christ, we become pneumatikos, spiritual. Point two. So by first birth, I have to say what I just said. By first birth, we are psychikos. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. Don't be afraid to write it down. Psychikos. I always like to remind people when I do this kind of thing, parakletos for the spirit, and psychikos, pneumatikos. Christ. When you say Christ, you're just saying Greek. That's not a translation. That is a transliteration. Translation is Messiah, the anointed one. But we don't do that. We say Jesus. In fact, even Jesus is a transliteration. It should be Savior, anointed one. Savior, Messiah. So don't be afraid here. So by the first birth, we're psychikos. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. If you want to get you're in an argument, well, you're nothing but a psychikos. They won't know what they've been called, but they'll be offended probably. I don't know what you just called me, but I'm sure it's a bad word. So, but it's a psychikos, natural. And by the second birth in Christ, we become pneumatikos, spiritual. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And right now we're looking at the psychikos, that's the natural man in verse 14, and pneumatikos, that's the spiritual. So this is where we are. And just to get you up to stiff, point one, we enter into the world psychikos. We enter into the world natural. 1 Corinthians 15:46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And then by union with Adam, natural. Union with Christ, spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:45. That brings us to point two. So the first birth, we are psychikos, natural. But by the second birth in Christ, we become pneumatikos, spiritual. Point three. This sets up a great conflict inside of us. It's a great conflict inside of us. It's not physical or things in the material world, but it's the two sides of who we are in our time on earth. You will either live, function, think, act according to your natural self, or you will live, function, think, act according to your spiritual self. One or the other, people. You will make choices in life. We got to teach our young people these things. You will make choices in life. You will either make them from your flesh nature, your natural nature, or your spiritual, who you are. And this is so important to know who and what you are. It's vital. Let's pick on a man. A man's married and doesn't act like he's married. That's going to cause a lot of trouble in life. Same thing here. You are a spiritual being. If you act natural, you're not acting who you are in Christ. So there's a great conflict going on inside of each one of us. And this battle, this war going on inside of us, happens all the time throughout the whole day. Let's look at Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we want to read verses 16 and 17 of Galatians 5. But I communicate to you, walk, live, by the Spirit. Why? Because you're pneumatikos. You're spiritual. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You're natural. Psychikos. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit. People, there's a battle. It is not a matter that you had bad tacos. It's a matter there's a battle going on inside of us. Flesh and spirit. Verse 17, and for the flesh sets its desires against the spirit. what the Spirit would have us do, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, and they're inside of you, so that you may not do the things that you please. Hopefully you please to do what is pleasing to God. So we have this battle going on inside, and right there is where the battle. The psychikos, the natural, pneumatikos, the spiritual. And this battle is constantly going on inside of us. If you have any questions as I go along, please ask me. I've just more prayerfully went through to try to put these things down. That brings us to point four. This division between the natural and the spiritual is seen in Jude 1:19. Now, if you can find a book of Revelation, you can find the book of Jude. It's a page before the book of Revelation. And we have verse 19. Verse 19 of Jude, these are the ones who cause divisions. Worldly minded. And then, this is our word, psychikos. That's our word. Worldly minded is psychikos. And then it says, devoid of the Spirit, pneumatikos. Devoid of the Holy Spirit. So be careful, people. Division in the church and home and in life. Okay? Point four, or point five now. Point five is a warning. Alarming aspect of these two distinctions. We are physically born into the world, psychikos, P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S, natural. And as such, separated from God. But upon believing in Jesus Christ, we are supernaturally transformed by God into pneumatikos. You can't make this happen. We are supernaturally transformed by God into pneumatikos, spiritual. First birth, psychikos. Second birth, pneumatikos. And people, we had no decision on either one. First birth, we had no decision. We came into the world naturally. Second birth, our decision was about Christ. God did this to us. We became pneumatikos. I understand. I'm trying to think through. You can damage the soul. You can scar it, damage it. Cannot take it out of being a believer, out of being saved forever, but we can damage it on earth. I'll have to work on that. Okay. Now, however, even though we are spiritual, here's the danger. We can actually live natural. We can actually live in a carnal or natural self. And this is where a lot of Christians live, even those who try to do good. So, we're born into the world natural. We become spiritual by the work of God the Father when we believe in Jesus Christ. But we can actually live on earth in our natural state, our carnal self. This is another reality that so many believers have trouble in comprehending. This whole evil lordship salvation stuff. It's just evil, but doesn't understand. It fails to think things out theologically. And that's why I'm a great theologian. This lordship stuff. People, it's evil. You can be a born-again believer, pneumatikos, but live psychikos your whole life. And I mean do some bad things. You can do it. Whether or not we live as a pneumatikos depends on living in the Spirit. That's what it depends on. Living in the Spirit. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 for this. You can be a pneumatikos, spiritual, but live pneumatikos, flesh, natural. Well, on that, he was trying to get us to live in the Word, and the Word would guide, and hopefully it would lead to the filling of the Spirit and living a spiritual life. But there's a little of that done today, too, of daily intake of the Word of God. Yes, it will keep you, it is designed to keep us in the Holy Spirit, in the spiritual man that we are. And not in the flesh. Keep our thinking spiritual, divine, according to God's thinking. Yes. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3, we're coming up in our study, but I just want to show you that a spiritual man can be like a natural man. And I, brethren, Paul, could not speak to you as spiritual, pneumatikos, but as to men of flesh, psychikos. Couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but of flesh, babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not a T-bone steak, for you were not able to receive it. You were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now, you're not able. Why are you not able? For you are still fleshly. Now, they are spiritual people. They are spiritual. But look what he says. You're still fleshly. You're still living in the flesh. You haven't moved to walking in the Spirit. You haven't started growing in the Word. And I'm afraid this describes a lot of the church today. Churches are filled with people in the flesh. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men? Giving those examples. So here's what we're saying, people. Under this very important point five, you are born into the world natural, psychikos. Believing in Jesus Christ, you became spiritual, a spiritual being, end of verse 13. A spiritual being, a spiritual creature, a new spiritual creation. Now the issue in our life, you can choose to either live as a flesh-natured person that you are by first birth, or you can choose to live as a spiritual person in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit. I guess the most dramatic way I know how to explain or to talk about this is a person can be married, and they are legitimately married before the state, before God, before the world, but they live like they're not. They're promiscuous. They do all this other stuff. They're not thoughtful. This isn't just a matter of infidelity. They're not thoughtful. They're not considerate of their wife. They're not considerate of their responsibilities as a husband. They're not considerate of these things. But they're married. They are still married. Even when they are fornicating, adulterous, having adulterous relationship, they're still married. Same thing with us. Even though we are spiritual creatures, when we live in the flesh, we act in the flesh. But we're still spiritual. We're still a spiritual creation. We're out of the plan of God, out of the filling of the Spirit, out of all of those things. So this is the most dramatic way, base way I can show you what's going on here and what we have happening in our passage. And what's important to us right now in our study is that when you are in the flesh, even in church, especially in church, you can't learn the Word of God. That's what he's saying. Can't give it to you. Your mind isn't going to be able to take it because it's spiritually appraised. The end of verse 14, look at verse, since we're right here, look back up there at 14, because they are spiritually appraised. And if you're in the flesh, you can't do it. You can do it intellectually. You can do it by your IQ. You can do it by your knowledge of the language. But not spiritually. Not where it'll have a spiritual impact. So, this is what's going on. So, any question on how we can... We are born natural. Second birth born spiritually. But we can live naturally even though we are a spiritual creature. And all the difficulties that come from being a spiritual creature living in the flesh, living as a natural creature, namely in growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Okay, point six. Now, what determines if you're going to walk, live as a spiritual or as natural? What's going to determine that? What's going to determine whether I'm going to live as a pneumatikos, spiritual, or whether I'm going to live psychikos, natural? What's going to determine that? Okay, let's look at Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is one of the four or five major passages on solid teaching of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Dissertations on it. All right, Romans chapter 8. Now, what are we looking for here? Why are we in Romans 8? What determines if you're going to walk or live, think as spiritual, pneumatikos, or natural, see, psychikos? What's going to determine it? Okay, let's see if this answers the question for us. Romans 8:5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the things of the Holy Spirit. And so now we're getting to where the Holy Spirit can now teach us divine phenomenon that we're looking at in our study. Verse 6, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Jesus Christ gives life, Holy Spirit gives life. Jesus Christ gives peace, the Holy Spirit gives peace. We've studied all of this. Verse 7, let me stop making my comments. Let's just read it, because this is a powerfully important passage. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. It is not able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. A lot of them try. There's a great deal of religious works, preaching, deacons, ushering, giving, singing, praying, witnessing, all these things. It's all in the flesh. Verse 8, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God indwells you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him, God. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness that has been imputed to you. Okay, what have we just read? We're under point six. What determines if you're going to live, walk, think in the spiritual you, pneumatikos, or in the flesh you, psychikos? What's going to determine? People, it's up here. It's up here. It's in your mind. Here's the battlefield. The battlefield is the mind. The battlefield is not the body. The battlefield is not the world. The battlefield is your mind. Get your mind set on the things of God. Get your mind set on the Holy Spirit. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is set on him. We're our whole thought process, people. The whole study of stress, anxiety, depression comes down to think. So every man thinketh, so he is. So here we are, a spiritual creature, but we got our mindset on the things of the world. Things, people, possessions, accomplishments, successes, desires, goals, enjoyments, pleasures. All these things, they're the world. Well, people, that's what you're going to get. And it's all dead. It's dead. Or you can set your mind on things that are above, where Jesus Christ sits in the heaven. Keep your mind stayed there. and that'll determine a lot that goes on inside of you. So you decide if you're going to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Set your mind things of the Holy Spirit. What is that? When our study of stress, anxiety, depression set, we call this AMFM. AM thinking, Adamic nature. Adam, from Adam, Adamic nature. Our flesh nature. FM, faith mindset. And it's that simple. You go get in your car, and on one little box, our body, one box, you got AMFM. You don't like that? You push it to FM. Don't like that? Push it back to AM. Same thing in our soul. We make a decision. I like Adamic nature. I want to be in my Adamic nature. I want to enjoy the flesh. I want to fulfill my desire. I want to express my anger. I want this. I want that. That's all about me. Or you can push FM. I'm going to trust Him. And guess what? Beautiful music comes out. Just nice, beautiful music. Hank Williams, no. And just some nice, beautiful music starts flowing through there. Yes? Yes, that's exactly it. So this is what's going on. And it's our decision. It's a faith decision. It's a faith decision. That brings us to point 7. Closely related to our study is the distinction spiritual and natural. Very close to understanding the spiritual and natural. Let's look at James chapter 3. We haven't been in James in a while, so let's look at James chapter 3. I'm so thankful for men like Martin Luther, who broke with the Roman Church and ushered in what we call the Reformation. But he had a lot of problems. I hope you don't have him as some glorified saint who could do no wrong. And one thing he did not like the book of James. He just said it really isn't part of the Bible. And he was also anti-Semitic, and he had a lot of problems. But James gives a lot of people problems. But this passage I don't think will give us any problem in dealing with the spiritual and the flesh. Look at James 3, verse 15. James 3:15. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, that's our word, psychikos, demonic. Now, we'll probably come back here because we're dealing with wisdom in the 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. But what I want you to just see was this aspect. Now, let's read James chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 13. James 3:13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by the good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, at your mindset, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This is not wisdom. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, related to the material world, natural, or psychikos nature, from the demon. What does that mean? Satan rule, Satan systems in the cosmic world. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above, okay, now we're dealing with a different wisdom that we're studying in 1 Corinthians 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy. A lot of Christians don't have very much mercy. Good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You know who the biggest hypocrite is? The biggest hypocrite is not one who claims to be a Christian and lives like a scoundrel. The biggest hypocrite is one who lives like he earned his salvation. That's the hypocrite, according to God. You earn something from God. You're so wonderful. That's the real hypocrite. We like to use the hypocrite. Well, they're just a hypocrite. They say they're Christian, but look how they're living. No, before God, the hypocrite is one who lives, thinks, and says, I earned this from God. I earned my salvation. That's a hypocrite. I earn blessings. I'm so wonderful. I'm so pure. Okay, verse 18. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Forget the chapter break. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? That's in our body. That's a psychikos, pneumatikos. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. But what I want us to see here, people, is the difference between pneumatikos, psychikos, and the area of wisdom that we're studying in 1 Corinthians chapters 2 and 3. That brings us to point 8. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who spiritually activates, that's the best words that I can think of, puts life into, because the Spirit gives life, spiritually activates, puts spiritual life into the soul and spirit. Now what I want to do is look at Galatians chapter 5 a moment. Galatians chapter 5. Now by way of introduction to this study, look at Galatians 5 verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, and you see that phrase, prepositional phrase, by faith? The Greek here has it going both backward and forward. Let me show you what I mean. For we, by means or through the Holy Spirit, by faith, and then it goes with the next phrase, by faith, are waiting for the confidence of righteousness. In other words, this is not imputed righteousness, it's salvation. This is the Christian life he's talking about in Galatians 5. And we want to have a righteous life. Well, you don't just go out, well, I know five things that make me righteous, I'm going to do those five. No. No. I don't know what a righteous life looks like, do you? In all circumstances? I sure don't. No one does. Holy Spirit knows. And he knows what's needed at any given point. So we, through the Holy Spirit, by faith, are waiting. What does that mean? Living, walking, day by day, moment by moment, for the confidence of righteousness, that our righteous, imputed righteousness and faith in Christ will become a reality in our lives. People, it doesn't happen overnight. This takes time for righteous life to start developing inside of a person. Some people, quickly, others a little slower, others very slow. But if we continue to walk in the Spirit, these things will become a reality. Now look at verse 16. Verse 16, what's he say? In Galatians 5, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Look at verse 25. Live by the Spirit. And then it says, let us walk. That's now, if you have the NASB with marginal notes, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, how do we walk, led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit? How do we do that? By faith. This is where a lot of times people miss out. There'll be preachers who'll tell you these things, but they'll tell you how. How are you saved? How you feel with the Spirit? How are you going to walk in the Spirit? How are you going to be led of the Spirit? How are you going to live in the Spirit? How are you going to keep in step with the Spirit? It's going to be by faith. And if we wanted to, we could add Ephesians 5. We won't turn there, but Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. How? By faith. Now, each of these emphasize different aspects of the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in us. It's a shame we got a lot of Christians who don't know very much about the Holy Spirit, and they're kind of afraid of it. Got another group who are charismatic, who just scream and shout and actually pollute the understanding of the Holy Spirit, distort the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So it's difficult to get your hand on the truth about the Holy Spirit. One group looks like a bunch of weirdos. Another group doesn't want to look like a weirdo, so they just stay away from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's knocked out two different groups. He's knocked out the weirdos and those that don't want to be a weirdo. Both of them don't understand the Holy Spirit. He's neutralized two groups of people. Two groups of Christians, maybe. So let's find out what's going on in this study. Point one. When we walk by the Holy Spirit, when we walk by the Holy Spirit, verse 16 of Galatians 5, when we walk by the Holy Spirit, everything we do is spiritual and has spiritual impact in the spiritual warfare before God. Now, I'm going to show you a contrast. Walk by the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 4. We'll be going to Romans 8 a lot. Anytime we study the Holy Spirit, you'll be in Romans 8 a little bit. Romans 8, verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. People, you make up your mind. Most Christians want to walk according to the law. Most Christians have the law down, you got to walk according to the law. The Word of God makes it very clear we're to walk according to the Holy Spirit. And when we get down to the last thing, keep in step with the Spirit, most people want to keep in step with the law. Here's what you do, don't do, and all this stuff. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Most Christians do not know that, and they do not know how to do that. But you see, the law has a grip. I can, do not steal. Boy, I can control you with that one. I can control you. Keep in step with the Spirit. I can't control you. I want to control. I want to be in control of my own life. I want to be in control of everything. So the law comes with a grip. Grace doesn't have that grip. Grace just walk by faith in the Spirit, and the Spirit leads and guides. No grip, no control. So, you have the law, do not steal. You can refrain from stealing in the power of the flesh, and you think you're doing it. You think you're doing what God wants you to do. You're not fulfilling the law. You're under the power of the law, but you're not fulfilling the law. Only under the power of the Holy Spirit, not stealing as a leading of the Holy Spirit because we're trusting God, that's glorifying to God. Multitude of Christians think if you do or do not do what the law says, you're fulfilling the law. People, that's legalism. That's religion. It's evil. It kills. It's wrong. But boy, it's prominent because it's easier to just sit down. Okay, here are the 10 laws. Here's some more laws. Here's my list of do's. Here's my list of don'ts and all of that. It's much easier than just, I'm going to walk by faith in the Spirit. Oh, you can't do that. It's what the Bible says for us to do. Walk by faith in the Spirit, not fulfill the law. So legalism, religion, occupied with that law. Okay, that's walking. Point two. Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. He guides us in the paths of righteousness. He guides us exactly where God intends for us to be. When you're led of the Holy Spirit, you're not led by the desires of the flesh. Now, going to have to stay with me here. We're going to do a comparison. We're going to compare. Probably should have put this on PowerPoint. Let's compare Galatians 5:13. So let's read Galatians 5:13 so we have down what we're going to be doing. We're going to compare Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through spiritual love serve one another. Galatians 5:16, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now let's compare these with James 5:5. Let's go over to James 5:5. And do some comparative. Okay, now just remember what we just read in Galatians, and now in James 5:5, you have lived luxuriously on the earth and led, there's that leading, led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. So you can make up your mind whether to live in the flesh or live by the Holy Spirit. Now let's add one more point to our comparison, 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can write them down, and maybe in your time alone, you can compare all of these things and do your own comparing. We're just doing it quickly in class. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's read together verses 6 and 7. Chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. For among them, let's see, we're in 2 Timothy. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. People, this describes a lot of people. Always learning how they read the Bible on their own. They don't need a pastor teacher. They're studying. They don't need a pastor teacher. They've got this. They never see it. God has given men the gift of pastor teacher. And if they know how to be filled with the Spirit, they know how to study the Bible, they can teach. Because very important. Now, what does all of this mean to be led of the Spirit? Well, what does it mean to be led of the Holy Spirit? Look with me at Luke chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Then I got a question for you. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, and Jesus was led about by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. People, you have to answer the question, do you believe that the Holy Spirit leads you or not? Every one of us have to make that decision. It's not me today. I can teach it. But it's up to you to decide, do you believe the Holy Spirit really does lead from within, or is He always dependent on external things? It's up to you. I believe the Bible is clear on this. The Holy Spirit leads from within. But it's a crucial question. And your answer is going to determine a lot about how you live your life. If you say, no, I do not believe there's a supernatural third member of the Godhead inside of me capable of influencing my soul, my mind, and lead me, then you are now going to be a slave to other things. You're going to be a slave to somebody. You're going to be a slave to some teaching. You're going to be a slave to circumstances. You're going to be a slave to whatever you decide if it's the Holy Spirit does not lead. You're going to be a slave to your consciousness, your own conscience, all these kind of things. Or do you believe the Holy Spirit leads supernaturally the believer who is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit? It is important to note where the Holy Spirit led Jesus Christ, people. Look at chapter 4, verse 1, Luke. Look where He led Him. Didn't lead Him into a nice, beautiful place. Led Him into the battle, into confrontation with Satan. That's where He led Him. Look at Mark. Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 4. I wanted Matthew first on purpose. Luke, now I want you to look at Mark 4. Same concept, but Mark 4 adds something. Mark 4, 1. And he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very great multitude gathered to him. He got into a boat into the sea. Da, 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 da. That's not what I wanted. Well, the point is that I want you to see is that the let's see if we pick it up back into Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke 4. I think Matthew 4:1. All right, Matthew 4:1. Maybe that's the one I wanted. Let's look at Matthew 4:1. Yes, yes, powerful. Look where the Holy Spirit led him. Oh, the Holy Spirit's going to lead me away from the battle. Holy Spirit's going to lead me to a nice garden with roses and a nice glass of iced tea and beautiful oceans. No, look what it says. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's the battle. Wilderness is opposed to garden. Into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. To be tempted, wilderness. People, the Holy Spirit will lead you in the plan of God. He will lead you into conflict. That's why Christ did a beautiful prayer in John 17. I do not pray that you take them out. They're in the world, but I don't pray that you take them out. Protect them from the evil one. People, the Holy Spirit will lead us into battle. The Holy Spirit will lead you into temptational areas. This whole idea of monks living in this little monastery and pray all day and sleep all night and all this kind of thing and never have bad thoughts and all, that's not what it's about. We're in the battle. We are in the battle. And the Holy Spirit will lead us into the battle. And that's why, people, in my counseling, I don't have absolute rights and things that you should and shouldn't do and all that. It's got to be by the Holy Spirit. I can take one couple having marital problems. He's beating her. Infidelity, all this. Another couple, he's beating her. Infidelity. The Holy Spirit will lead this one to leave, this woman to leave. He'll lead this woman to stay. And I believe that. There's no absolutes here. Don't tell the Holy Spirit how he should lead everybody. People who like to counsel and tell people what to do, that's wrong. I can tell you to walk by faith in the Spirit. I can tell you to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I can tell you to set your mindset on the things above where Jesus Christ is seated. But as far as these things here on earth, people, sometimes he will lead you right into the battle. Right into the battlefield. So it's going to be up to you. This gets back to this whole thing of blaming doesn't work. Adam said, it's a woman you gave me. Woman said, it's a snake you gave me, the pet you gave me. It doesn't matter. If we fail, we fail. If we stop trusting, walking by faith, it doesn't matter how we got to that point. Well, you shouldn't have been there in the first place. Maybe it was lit there. I don't know. The point is living in the Spirit, being guided in the Spirit. So he will lead. And it's up to you whether or not you believe that the Spirit leads. So he led Jesus Christ into the wilderness, conflict, battle, and to be tempted. To be tempted. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm letting the Bible do a lot of our points today. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3. Verse 3. But I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. People, please understand, Satan's crafty. People had this idea, he walks around with a red suit and a pointed tail and horns on his head and everybody knows him. No, he is a smooth-talking guy. I mean, he is smooth. He is charisma. He knows how to do it. By his craftiness. Your minds, there's the battlefield, see? Your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, who is that? It's the Mormons. The Mormons are teaching another Jesus now. And people are buying into it. Christians, oh, well, they believe in Jesus. No, they do not. It's another Jesus. It's right here in the text. If one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted. You bear this beautifully. People, we've got to be led of the Spirit in these things. Led in truth and led of the Spirit. When you are not led of the Holy Spirit, you're led by the powers and forces of the world. You're led by the flesh. That's what you're led by, people. Please understand, you're going to be led. I know, we all have, I'm in control, I'm a big shot. No, you're not. You're either led by the flesh and the world, or by the Spirit and truth. It's one or the other. You think you're in control, and that's the craftiness of Satan. To let us think that we're always in this control. So when you're not led by the Spirit, you're led by the power forces of the world to accept those things acceptable to the world. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bible church today. 1 Corinthians 12, 2 and 3. You know that when you were pagans, unbelievers, you were led astray to the dumb idols. When Judith and I were in Israel, we stayed at the little type of hotel at Christ Church and right inside the walls of Jerusalem. And there was a very popular, I didn't know him, we didn't know him, but very popular, I understand, around the world as guru. Used to be a guru, and he became a Christian and wrote a book and travels around. And people were always hovering around him there in the hotel. And anyway, he had heard about me, and we got together and talked. And he said, I used to worship monkeys. Can you believe that? I used to worship monkeys. Can you believe that? I worship cows. I mean, how dumb? How dumb can you get? Well, look what we have right here. Verse 3. Therefore, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols. However you were led. Doesn't matter. But you worship them. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean just to utter the words. It means to claim it in your soul. Or becomes a reality in your soul. All right, that brings us to point 3. And point 3 is a page. And I'm not going to get through with a page in 1 minute. So we'll start at point 3 next Sunday morning. I'll get you up to snuff where we are and then move right into point 3 and we'll continue in our study. People, there's so much that we need to learn and grasp and understand in truth about the third member of the Godhead. He's the mystery. He's a mystery in the church age. We'll see that in Colossians. He's a mystery. Jesus was a mystery. Jesus came on the scene and the Jews saw him. I said, I'm going to take up the minute. The Jews, they didn't want him. They had God. Now, Jesus is revealed. They don't want the Holy Spirit. They have Jesus. People, God's plan is perfect all the way through. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we stand amazed at your wonderful grace design, sending to us a Savior to give us life and peace, and then giving to us your Spirit to give us life and peace as believers on earth. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, to learn all we can of the Spirit, that we may be led by Him, walk in Him, keep in step with Him. We can't see Him with our physical eye, but we're to keep in step with Him, filled with Him. So, Father, we pray you'll take the things we're seeing, have them become a reality in our soul, and then a reality in our lives as we glorify Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.